Welcome, everybody, to the Blazing Defender Report, episode 110. I know, man, like 110 episodes. Are you kidding me? Man, I got a good show for you guys. We're going to be talking about, or I'm going to be talking about, the Matt Reeves Batman suit that he revealed, whether I like it or not. You'll have to tune in and find out what I think. Then I've really got some good Netflix shows that I've been watching lately. So some things that you may have kind of flown under the radar, but I want to tell you guys what I'm watching on Netflix, and maybe you might want to check that out. Plus, I got top five comic books for the week and a surprise book that was actually recommended to me by a listener, and it is really good. So hope you enjoy the episode, guys, and of course always like and subscribe, and if you could leave me a 5-star review on iTunes or Anchor, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Peace. All right, let's get this party started, people. Welcome to the Blazing Defender Report. Batman suits. Oh my God, what a reveal. It was amazing. Who was it? It sucked. You loved it. Wonder what's going on. I don't know, but I want to welcome you to episode 110 of the Blazing Defender Report. What's going on, guys? I got a really good show for you today. We're going to be talking about, yes, Matt Reeves revealed the Batman suit. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about maybe some things that inspired it, some fan theories already running on a 20-second teaser. It's pretty crazy. But we're going to be talking about, I've been watching some really cool Netflix shows I think you guys would want to know about. I played my first D&D campaign this past week with the Botch Boys. I'm going to tell you about that. And I have top five comic books from last week. It is Tuesday, I believe. So new comic book today, tomorrow, talking about the comic books that happened last week. And I've got a surprise that was actually really, really a cool read that was given to me by a listener. So I definitely want to talk about that. What's up, Neil, brother? How you doing, man? I hope everybody's doing well. And the reason I say that is I'm going to start the show off on kind of a down note. I do apologize, guys. I am a Louisville firefighter here in Louisville, Kentucky. And we probably took the worst hit that we've ever taken. I know since I've been on the fire department, 22 years, and maybe ever. We had not only an active member taken from us, but we had a retiree that lost a daughter and granddaughter all in the same accident. And the active member, Leslie Prather, her and her 12-year-old were tragically taken in the same accident on the way to a volleyball tournament. Four people killed in an accident. We really don't know a lot about it. She was struck by a truck carrying a trailer going the opposite way on the expressway. We don't know much. My family, or my heart in condolences go out to families of everyone that lost somebody in that horrible accident. So long story short, guys, tell the people that you love them. Tell your loved ones, your family, your friends, that you love them whenever you get a chance to, because you don't know when tragedy will strike and you'll never get to say those words again. So let's talk about something a little more positive. First of all, hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't already. I really appreciate that. If you have Amazon Prime, you are given a free subscription to Twitch Prime. And if you would use that free subscription on me, that would be fantastic. I would really, really appreciate that. What's up, Brian, man? The chat's filling up. Glad you guys can make it. First, I want to tell you guys about my Dungeons & Dragons campaign. Okay, just played for the very, very first time. I've known people throughout my life that have played, and I was actually talking to a coach or a coach of mine in high school, and somehow it came up, and he was like, "Yeah, you know, Dungeons and Dragons was really popular with people in high school when you went." And I went, "Man, yes, that was like one of the first games I ever seen." And it was, you know, are we simulcating up in here? I don't know what that means. What's that mean? That's Casey. It's TV's Casey, everybody. He has been on the show several times. Glad you can make it, Case. Yes, I am on Facebook. Now, I'm glad you said that because, okay, two things really, really, really fast. If you're listening to me on Anchor, iTunes, I do a live cast. I am talking to the chat room during this live cast. If you haven't seen the live cast, please do that on Twitch or Facebook Live. Now, if you're on Facebook and you're watching and you say something to me, I'm really, really, really sorry because I can't see that chat yet. All I can see is the Twitch chat. In the multi-stream chat, I'm going to switch over real quick, see what it does. Yeah, it does nothing. Okay. So, yes. And the new overlay, if you've seen it, Casey, when I showed the Batman reveal, the Matt Reeves reveal, it was on there. I'd already set the images and everything on this. Yeah, guys, Casey does my overlays. Like, the overlay you're looking at, he did that. So, yeah. Thank you. Looks great. But I couldn't use it for this show. Anyway, we're going to be talking about DN Dizzle, which is, I'm going to be talking about my first campaign. Jesus Christ. All right. So I am a Dragonborn. Okay. Someone asked me in the chat what I was. I'm a Dragonborn. Okay. It means I'm kind of like, I'm a dragon biped. I'm a lizard looking dude. All right. His name is Killen Creamhole, okay, Killen Creamhole, Kremhol, okay, he's a pretty bad motherfucker, like, I've fucking got massive strength, dexterity, yeah, I know all this lingo now, right, he's not very bright, he got some charisma, a little bit of wisdom, he breathes fire, because he's a gold dragons breathe fire, I know all this shit now, man, proficient. No, I'm a level 4 after finishing my first campaign. It got a little dicey because Dennis, the world's most okayest DM, which is fucking could not be truer. No, he did a great job, but he DM'd. I played with some Patreons from the Botched podcast, the Botched D&D. If you like D&D, check out their podcast. So he wanted to set this orphanage / medical center that was, we come to find out later, ran by vampires on fire. Well, he didn't set it on fire. I guess I set it on fire. All right. Which I thought I had a fire immunity, which I do, but it's just 5 like damage points off. So I could still burn the fuck up, basically. So after I fucking fire breathed the fucking vampire to ash, I end up setting the place on fire. All right. So thinking I could run through it and shit. No, you can't. You can. I did better than some other people, but, it got a little dicey. I got down to 6 hit points, but I got them back. We have a druid. One of the patrons was a druid. He healed me, even though he lost all his shit. Long story short, guys, it was a fucking shit ton of fun. There's still a lot to learn, but, Dennis was great and we all had a lot of fun and I can't wait to do it again. It'll be next Thursday. I want to get Dennis to stream it. I think y'all would get a kick out of it. Just watching people play and maybe get you into it. Like if you've never played, then it would give you an idea of how you play. You know, you need dice and all that shit, which it's cool, man. It was a lot of fun and I had a great time and we're going to be continuing this campaign, next, this coming Thursday. So hopefully we might get to, I might see if Dennis can stream that. We'll find out. I don't know. It is Patreon members, so they may not want to be on a live stream, but we'll find out. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, guys, and you should really, if you've never played and you've always wanted to play, you should play. Damn, big man finally played D&D. Yeah, Jason, I did. We had a good time. I drank 9 beers, and I felt like dog shit the next morning. Like, 9 beers, like, fucking put me down. I was in bed by midnight, and the next day I was at the firehouse, and I felt like total dog shit. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Y'all should definitely play. Again, there's a lot to it, man. Like, I didn't realize there was so much to it. But, like, here, I still have my, yeah, I got my player sheet still right here. Look, see, still got my player sheet. Again, we leveled up. We all made it, even though some people's gear got lost or destroyed. Or, I don't know, because I burnt the place down. Hey, when you run with a fucking dragonborn, shit burns up. I'm just saying. Yeah, killing. I like killing. Killing cream hole. Fucking dragonborn. Cheers, motherfucker. But yeah, so, all right. So we're going to get to it, because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on my D&D conquests, I'll call it. It's what it is. It is what it is. But we're going to get to this, okay? All right. Matt Reeves. Matt motherfucking Reeves. Okay. First off, I have to, for full transparency's sake, born murder hobo type. Yeah, that would be, you know, I need to make a Blazy Defender character, right? What character did you role play? I don't know what you mean. Like, I just told you, I was a dragonborn, man. That's like, that's right. I'm role playing. Ain't that what D&D is? I don't know. Thought it was. Yeah, I was killing cream hole, dog. Like, dragonborn, breathe fire, fuck shit up. That's what I do. I'm a fighter. Oh, I'm a fighter. Yeah, did I not say that? Yeah, I probably didn't. His class is a fighter. He's a fighter. He's pretty badass. He's got a fucking maul, which, if you don't know what a maul is in D&D 5th edition, I'm cracking myself up. It looks like Stormbreaker, okay? No shirtless barbarian. No, because I am, and Brian will know this because we know this guy. A friend of ours, Brian Elder, is DMing a dungeon for us. And that character that I've created for his campaign is a barbarian. So I wanted to be something else. So, yeah. Even Dennis said the same thing. Like, oh, you're not going to be a fucking barbarian? I'm like, no, dickwad, I'm not. Like, I want to be, maybe I'll be a fucking monk or some shit. You don't know. You don't know me. But so Matt Reeves has unveiled the new Robert Pattinson, the Batman bat suit. And it has been hit with mixed reviews, as you can imagine, right? I mean, it's fucking Batman. There's going to be haters and there's going to be you know, people that love it. Okay. So for full transparency's sake, I did end up getting very heated with someone on Facebook. Imagine that. Yeah, I got sucked in. You know, people are telling me, oh man, relax, let it breathe, just take a breath, dude. Fuck all of you, A, okay? Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody. And I can't agree with you because that would make us both wrong. Nah, I'm just kidding. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. You can like this or not like this. It doesn't make me wrong. It doesn't make you right. Nor does it make me right or wrong. Okay? It's just like my mom said. Opinions are like buttholes. Everybody has them and they all stink. That is the fucking truest statement my mother's ever given me. All right. So, yeah, I don't like it. Let me start with what I did like. Okay? Let's go that route. What I do like, the music. Okay? Like, if you didn't hear it, yes, Neil, I'm going to get to that, brother. Stay around. Stick around for me, okay? Because me and you, brother, me and you. the music. I dug the music extremely. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah. And like, the fucking Batman ain't even showed up yet. And I'm like, digging this fucking, the noir, you know, the noir music. I'm digging that. Okay. Then they show the chess piece. Okay. Do I have the chess piece? I know I do. The the bat symbol. Here it is. Yeah. Let's do the chess piece. Okay. So then they show the chess piece. Yes. And I fucking found the images that people have redone without the red. Don't get me fucking started, Daredevil. Don't get me started. All right. I'm trying to be positive. All right. Trying to be positive. All right. So this is the new chess piece. And I'm like, okay, it's got an Arkham vibe to it. All right. Arkham Asylum vibe. All right. Just to show you guys really, really quick. This is the suit from Arkham Knight or Arkham Asylum. Many of the Rockstar video games. This is the suit. Obviously, there is an influence here, right? Would everybody agree to that? I think everybody would agree to that. Okay, so I'm going to fucking get rid of that. Go back to the chess piece. All right, so I'm like, yeah, man, it's cool. It's cool. All right, it's angular. It's a little angular for me, but I'm good with it. What's going on with this bat symbol? Okay, I'm going to get to that. Okay, I know there's a fan theory about this. And it's, as of today, mind you, I have seen nothing that is confirming this theory that this bat symbol is made from the gun that killed his parents. So this could be, okay? Now, I did say, oh, so we're just changing Batman's mythos already. We're changing his origin. He never did find the killer of his parents. Therefore, how did he get the murder weapon? All right, but I know, I'm a comic reader. In Detective 1000, he did end up getting the gun. He didn't find the gun. He was given the gun. And it was a 1911, a Colt 1911. I believe that is correct. If Casey's still in the chat, he can probably verify that. And for all the Zack Snyder Batman fans, which I know Neil and I are present, the gun was actually in Justice League in the Batcave. Okay, if you Google that, you will find the snapshot. It's actually Wonder Woman. She is in front of the case that has a gun in it. It's got to be the gun, right? Okay, and a friend of mine, maybe not so nicely, told me that there's a lot of ways he could have got the gun. Okay, it's fine. We're going there, I guess. All right, originally, he never found the gun nor the killer. Okay, which to me is better in driving this obsessive character forward. But whatever. Okay, maybe it is the gun. And I'll be honest. That may be kind of cool. Okay, that may be kind of cool that he did get the gun and he's put that into the suit. I'm with that. Like, that is a good, cool take. I'll run with that. I can run with that. I can't say for sure what type of gun, but I know he's only ever encountered Joe Chill post-crisis, but not in current continuity. Correct. And we know the Michael Keaton Batman movie, Batman, it made the Joker the killer, okay, and not Joe Chill. So, and that's a widely accepted Batman movie. Like, people like that movie. So, we can change the mythos. I'm not saying you can't, okay? I am not a Robert Pattinson fan, so everything about this rubs me a little raw, but I'm trying to stay open-minded, guys. Okay, so now let's get to what I don't like about the suit. Let's go back to the new suit. Let's get rid of the bat symbol suit. All right. First of all, that red hue. That was not a fucking good move because you guys know all the comparisons have been made about Daredevil. Now, you say, well, it doesn't look anything like Daredevil. Okay. For one thing, if you see side-by-side comparisons, it looks a lot like Daredevil. And Daredevil was trending on Twitter because of this reveal. And people weren't just saying, oh, it looks like fucking Daredevil. They were just saying, oh, it's really reminiscent of Daredevil. Oh, it kind of resembles Daredevil. All right, whatever. Was this sanctioned or just leaked? Maybe you're talking about the gun theory. No, I believe fans ran with that. This is nothing, but nothing about that gun theory has been confirmed. Now, I think they're on to something. I really do. But it has not been confirmed yet at all. Okay. And like, I was looking for shit today to confirm it. Like, Matt Reeves has not said shit. The photos that Matt Reeves, Matt Reeves, yeah, that trailer is from Matt Reeves. Like, that is test screening is what they called it. That test screening. The photos I'm using, this is a screenshot from the trailer, and then fans have redone it in black and white to make it look more Batman-ish, which is what fucking Matt Reeves should have done. All right, whatever. So the bat symbol. We did that. The bat suit. What I don't like. This is what I don't like. All right. For one thing, this collar. I don't like this collar. Now, why don't you like the collar, Trav? I just don't. All right. And this is, I'm pretty sure is where he's getting it from. There is a story. It's called Gotham by Gaslight. It is basically Batman versus Jack the Ripper. It is a really, really, really good story, guys. You should check it out if you hadn't. But the bat suit is very Victorian, I guess is the word I'm looking for. It's very Victorian looking because, you know, the men wore like capes and collars back in that day. It's very aristocratic, I guess. But that is where I believe this collar is coming from, even though it's a little more pronounced here. Okay. So let's go back. Let's go back to the regular. Okay. So you see this collar right here. All right. That's very Gotham by Gaslight. So now we've got an Arkham Asylum type deal with the chest piece. It looks very angular, very armor plated. And now we've got this collar. Okay. Whatever. All right. Now we're going to get to this part right here drives me absolutely fucking insane. Okay, this shin, like, and I seen somebody on Twitter say, oh, well, at least, you know, Robert Pattinson's proven he's got the chin, the jawline to pull this. No, fuck that. You know what he looks like? He looks like a skinny fucking dude in a cowl. That's what he looks like. That is not a lantern jaw. All right. So I didn't get all the images that I wanted to show you guys because it just took me too long. But if you look at all the suits that you guys like, the Michael Keaton, the Batman versus Superman suit or Justice League suit, a lot of them have his jawline is covered. Okay. It's covered. Now there was a ninja, a Batman ninja movie, which is fucking terrible, but he looks really, really, really cool. He has a different look to him. And I'm going to show you that. Okay. All right. Someone posted this as this is what Rod Pattinson looks like in the full suit. It's a full shot. No, he doesn't. Yes. You almost got the bat symbol right. You definitely got the collar right. But the chin, see how the jawline and chin are covered? That looks so much fucking better. It looks so much better. It gives him some bulk in the face, makes him look more menacing. Okay. I don't know what this is right here. Like, I don't know what that is. The cowl's too big for that face. Does not look good. Does not look good at all. Was that the one by Boss Logic that I just showed Casey with the chin guard? Maybe they should let Boss Logic start designing shit. And I have been drinking rum for a couple hours, so I apologize if I get goofy and stupid. Which you watch this show, so you know that's how I do it. So these are the reasons I don't like this suit. Okay, the color hue was a bad fucking choice. This jaw, chin, bear shit, not good. The collar I can live with if I have to. If the cowl was different. The cowl really, 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 really needs to change. And speaking of Boss Logic, he did this back here, this print right here. It was for the Australian Wildlife Fund. Actually, it was for the Red Cross. I take that back. It was for the Red Cross. There are prints done like Avengers inspired by firefighters. And this is, you can't really see it now that I look at it, but he is on a fire truck and he's got his axe up in the air. And at the bottom, it says Worthy. So it's kind of like a take on Thor. But this fireman's raising his axe. I loved it. Fucking loved it. Had to buy it. And all the proceeds went to Red Cross. So check out Boss Logic, man. Boss Logic is awesome. So let's let Boss Logic start designing shit. Please, please, fucking please. Okay, now, I know you could say what you want about Ben Affleck as Batman. You could say what you want about BVS. It's out there. All right, I've never seen people so supportive and so full of hate when it comes to Zack Snyder's visions. Okay. But this, everybody that fucking thought Affleck was going to suck as Batman, Neil, I still hope you're here because this is for you, dude. When we seen this, nobody bitched. Nobody bitched. People that fucking hated Ben Affleck, which I never did. I'm on record. I'm on this fucking show saying that I thought it was a great choice. When we seen this fucking dope ass suit and Batman in it standing by the fucking Batmobile, this is not actually the shot. This is the better shot of the suit than the one by the Batmobile. But you know which one I'm talking about. Everybody went like this. Oh, mother. Oh, shit. Okay. All right, Zach. Yeah. Oh, all right, man. You might be on something here. All right. I'm going to give it a shot. Motherfucking shot won people over. All the fucking naysayers. It won them over. Okay. And this is the kind of shit that made people, me included, say that Ben Affleck is the best cinematic Batman we've ever seen. Regardless of what the movie was, that's debatable also. But looks-wise, he was the shit. That suit is the shit. All right. So, like I said, this is the reason I get so fucking upset. But you guys know I love Batman, man. He's like my number two. Sometimes he's my number one. I go back and forth, him and Cap. You all know that, though. So this shit. Let's get back to this shit. What the fuck? If you like it, I'm glad you like it. I am actually fucking tickled to death you like it. Now, I will say this about Matt Reeves' Batman. Matt Reeves makes great movies. He makes fucking great movies. Those Planet of the Apes movies, fucking dope. Just all of them. He wasn't even the director on the first one. He's executive producer on the first one. Fucking great. Okay? He makes fucking great movies. I am all in for this movie. I beat me to the fucking theater is what my challenge to all you all. Beat me to the theater when it comes out. You won't. I promise you, you won't. If I got to drive 2 hours to see it on a Thursday night, if it's sold out here, or if there's a Wednesday showing somewhere, I'm going to go there because I am that excited about this movie. I am not happy right now. I am not happy with the casting of Batman. The rest of the casting, I'm all about. Colin Farrell as the Penguin, the black guy as Commissioner Gordon. I'm good with that. Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman. I'm with it. Like, I am fucking all in, man. I am all in. So let's do it. But don't, I'm not, dude, you guys, you know me on this show. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. I'm like, yeah, that's not good. It's not good, you know? And I don't know Matt Reeves. You know, it's just not good. Sorry, bro. It's just not good. Now, can it be fixed? Of course it can be. I'm totally for it being fixed. But as of right now, it's just not good. Have you watched some of Pattinson's other work? I have. I have watched Rover, which I thought he was excellent. Oh, man. Now they're escaping me. The one where they're in the lighthouse with William Devoe. That movie was fucking nuts. William Devoe and Robert Pattinson play lighthouse workers. And the isolation has basically drove them to madness. And you don't know what's real and what's not. Excellent. He was excellent. And it's not, and guys, I'll say this again. It's not about, because this is one of the things that came up in that Facebook post. What'd I call it? Did I not call it the lighthouse? What did I call it, Casey? I don't know what I called it. I probably did fuck it up, but I thought I called it the lighthouse. Did I say the lighthouse movie? Yeah, that's what it should have been called. No. You know, someone said, well, you know, Pattinson's a great actor. He is. The reason I am not happy with the Pattinson casting is for one reason and one reason only. The Twilight shit, hey, I watched the Twilight movies because my wife read the books. I didn't hate them. I didn't hate Pattinson as whatever his fucking name was. Fuck it, I can't remember now. I didn't hate those movies. I thought for the character he was supposed to play, I thought he did a good job. He was likable. He's a vampire. I mean, I dug it. So that was not the reason. Not the reason a lot of people are upset. I'll say this again. I've said it for on this show. I'll say it again. Just for documentation's sake. Actors now in this day and age have brought a physicality to the role. Michael Keaton's Batman is fantastic. If that's your favorite Batman, fucking all right. You can have it. Okay? We now have guys like Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth. I don't want to say Sebastian Stan, but Sebastian Stan has gotten in great shape. You've got these guys that are Vin Diesel, Jason Momoa, Ben Affleck, Cavill. They have all brought a physicality to the role. James Bond. That's the reason your boy doesn't want to do the Bond movies anymore, because he fucking hates getting in shape for him. Hugh Jackman. This motherfucker did show tunes and sang on Broadway. They brought a physicality to the role by beefing up, by looking jacked. Okay, because guess what, guys? If you read comic books like I did, you know that the motherfuckers are ripped up. And they had that superhero look to them. Okay? Michael Keaton, not so much. Clooney, not so much. Val Kilmer, not so much. They let these guys let the suit have the muscles on them. Now, granted, they still do that. But you still got to be able to fill that suit out. And then, like, when Ben got in that fucking dope-ass suit, as thick as he was, you were like, what? When you seen Chris Evans, when he first came out of the pod, when he was made into Captain America, you were like, oh, shit. We were all like Peggy Carter, like, damn, like pushing in on it and shit. Okay? Hemsworth, fucking jacked. Momoa, fucking jacked. Okay? Not comparing their acting ability to Michael Keaton, because he's phenomenal. What I'm saying is the new actor, there's more to ask of him than just acting. Robert Pattinson falls into that. Sorry, bro. Shouldn't have did a fucking comic book movie if you didn't want to get in shape. But there's a physicality to that. This reveal really, really, it just makes all my fears come to fruition when I see this fucking jaw, the skinny ass face in this suit. Like, I'm going to see that in a dark alley and be scared. I'm 245. You ain't scaring me, motherfucker. You better have something in that mask, because I'm going to knock you out with that skinny ass jawline you got going on. So I don't know. That's what upsets me. I like that intimidating figure. Not saying you have to be, guys. I'm just saying that's what I want. That's the reason I'm not on board. Okay. But I do want to see it, and I do want to fucking love this movie. And you guys know this as well as anybody. Story trumps a lot of shit. Like, you give me a fucking great Batman story, and I'm going to be fucking all about it. Okay? So, all right. We talked enough about that, I guess. Unless you guys want to talk. What's Batman normally size at? 6'2", 230? That's pretty good. Yeah. I would say 6'1 to 6'3. Yeah, 230, 225, somewhere in that range. I mean, that's a, think about the people you know. I'm 5'11, almost 6 foot, and 245. So, you know, people talk about how imposing I can be all the time. Now, if I was 6'3 and 245, I'd be a goddamn beast. Okay. I'd be rock. All right. Yeah. Casey said, well, he's like a baseball player then. You know, he's 6'1, you know. It still doesn't mean he's a good Batman. None of this means shit. Okay. None of this means shit. It really doesn't. And, you know, there were people saying, man, take a breath, relax, blah, blah, blah. Fuck you. Again, I get mad even when I say it. I cannot like this. I can have a reaction to this. That's what Matt Reeves wanted, by the way. He wanted a reaction, good or bad. This shit is trending, okay? So that's good, man. They always said, bad publicity is good publicity, and that's true. And there are a lot of people that like this. I would have liked to got a better look at the ears, okay? If he's got those fucking long, crazy ears, I don't know if I'm going to like it. But I guarantee you from the aesthetic that this he's already shown us, I think it's going to have those long-ass ears. Yeah, okay, so Brian says, I'm 6'3", 228. Ask Travis if I look like a Batman. It's not just the size, overall physicality. Yeah, maybe if it's real bad, they fix it like Sanchez. Yeah, that's true. And I think that they will take a look at this and see how it's trending and say, yeah, you know, the best thing that could have happened was when the fans did this shit in black and white, like I just showed you. Here, I'm going to show it again. I'm going to show it again for all you guys that are in the chat. I'm going to show it one more time. Just to see, you know, like this is without the red, because I would not do that to you. And it's got great music. Like this music is fantastic, which means it's probably going to have a really good score. We still don't see ears. Now I can get with this. It's a little angular for me, but it's armored. I get it. Now we get to the cape and the collar. It does not match. And then there's that skinny ass jaw. The cowl, the front part looks too big. It's just not aesthetically pleasing. And, you know, another odd choice to me from Reeves is, why would he not show us the ears? Like, it's Batman. Like, you know what that looks like, Casey? Let's talk about this for a minute. Jason, you guys know comics. Midnighter. Like, that could have been the fucking Midnighter reveal, right? Maybe he's in a Midnighter movie. That'd be awesome. But now I think about it, Pattinson would probably be a really good Midnighter, right? So yeah, I don't know, man. I was curious what you guys thought. It's nothing to get fucking bent out of shape about, like I know I am, but I feel like you'd be fixing for a Midnighter movie more than you're a Batman movie. A Midnighter movie needs to happen. Like, and I'll say this really, 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 really quick, because this is a rabbit hole I could fucking fly down for. Hey, speaking of rabbit holes, I think that's what I'm gonna call the new show, Rabbit Holes, or Gateways or something like that. But I'm gonna start doing a show. It's gonna be a roundtable, three or four guys, And we're just going to talk. And we're going to get into stuff like this. We're just going to talk. It's not going to be any set thing, but it's going to be like pop culture based. And we're going to rabbit holes. That might do it. I was thinking the nerd narrative, but rabbit holes might end up working. Because this is the kind of shit that we talk about. So if you like this kind of rabbit hole going down and going off tangent thing, then check out the new show. I'm going to try to get it together very, 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 very soon. So I think that I don't want to get too pissed off about all this, but this Batman is important to me, and I want this to be the best Batman movie ever. I want Robert Pattinson to be the best Batman. I want this to go down. I want this to be Joker-esque, Heath Ledger Joker-esque, Joaquin Joker-esque. I want it to be the fucking defining Batman movie like Logan was for Wolverine. Right. That's what I want for this movie. And I'm not seeing it, and it upsets me. So we're going to move on. But I'll be there. I'll be there with fucking bells on, and it'll be great. Okay. So, hey guys, top five comic books, for the week of last week. Okay. We got some good ones and a couple, like one of these books, I'm very, very glad that it made the list this week because I've been reading it. I haven't been reviewing it, just because it just hasn't made the list, but it's been good. I just think other things have been better and I want to bring you guys the really good shit. So this is Batman and the Outsiders. This is a part three, I believe. It's written by Brian Hill and Dexter Soy is the artist. Now, Dexter Soy is really, really, really doing some good stuff. This is his cover. His artwork is fantastic. And he is new to me. Okay. Like some of you guys may know who he is. I have not. But I dig his Batman. He's got the big McFarlane-esque capes. And he draws a very dark, very muted Batman, which works well in this book. Now, if you're not familiar with Batman and the Outsiders, it is a group of individuals that Batman has cobbled together to kind of, it's like Batman's Hit Squad. Okay. So if you want to think of that. Casey, I think it's a very, very McFarlane-esque type cape, which he does a lot of this and it's very, very, very good artwork. But like this group that he has cobbled together is Black Lightning, The Signal, which was a Robin that he's now taking on the name of Signal, Batgirl, Shiva, basically a mercenary from the future called Caliber with a K. He's pretty badass. He's got like this red beard and he's kind of like cybered out like a Deathlok type of character. And Ra's al Ghul, of course, is one of the main characters. Duke. Thank you. Thank you, Casey. And it's all about the dynamic that everybody's working in. Okay. And nobody trusts Bruce. Bruce sends him on these missions because he's Batman, but yet they still don't trust him. And rightly so. They should trust. He's never going to do them harm, but he doesn't tell them everything because he's Bats. So this is Ra's al Ghul. He has basically captured a meta human and altered her mind. So this is kind of that story of them trying to get her back into the fold and erase her brainwashing while Ra's al Ghul's plans going forward. It's a very, very good story. I actually am getting very excited when I see it on the shelves now. So Batman and the Outsiders, it's great artwork. It's a lot of action. And they're really, I tell you this, this Brian Hill, he's doing like a lot of subplots with multiple characters very well. Like you're getting everybody and he may only give this storyline a few panels, But you're like, ooh, what's going on with Duke? Oh, what's going on with Cassandra Cain? Oh, Lady Shiva, she's back. Oh, shit. Oh, she wants to be a mom to Cassandra Cain now? What? How's that going to work out? I mean, it's like a soap opera with a lot of action and great artwork. It's a can't miss, guys, honestly. So if you haven't given Batman the Outsiders a shot, give it a shot, because it's been very, very fucking good. Like, I am very, very excited when I see this on the shelves that it is finally out. Okay, number four. Number four actually comes in a little bit lower, but don't let it fool you. You guys know how I have felt about the Jonathan Hickman Reborn X-Men. Now, this isn't Jonathan Hickman, and actually, I don't remember who's on this book right now. But this is basically a Domino-centric episode or issue, I should say. There is Domino, if you don't know, she was captured and basically skinned. Okay. Yeah. X-Force is ultra violent, ultra adult, pretty fucking badass. They are the hit squad for Xavier and the X-Men on this path to sovereignty that is Krakoa. Okay. So Domino was captured. She was skinned, and they are actually using her skin, and they are able to manipulate her mutant ability. It's a little different. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, you could do that. But they are doing that. But there is an assassin that is basically knocking off pro-mutant activists. And they're making the most insane assassinations. Like, they, you know, she shot a guy on a train while he was on a boat doing 30 knots. I mean, like, the most impossible assassinations this assassin's pulling off. So Sage, who is kind of like the man in the chair for the X-Force, right, Casey, right? She is kind of the man in the chair for the X-Force group. She kind of like runs comms and video, and, you know, like, they have questions or they need something taken, like, hacked into, she can do that remotely. So they basically, her and Sage get together, they find out who this assassin's next target is going to be. And they ended up finding her at the very end of this issue. Now, I said her, so I kind of gave it away. But you've never seen this person before. So what I will say about this X-Force issue is get it, because it is the first appearance of this new villain or assassin character that maybe end up being pretty popular. So as a collector, you might want to get this, but as a reader, comic book lover, you're really going to dig this issue. It was super, super cool. There's three or four assassinations that they're investigating to lead them to this person. So it's really, really cool. And I'm digging Domino, man. Like, I don't know what it is, but Domino was like, she's so cool to me right now. It's like, I don't know. She's pretty dope. So I'm digging Domino. And y'all are going to dig this issue. X-Force is just a fantastic book altogether. But this falls in at number four this week. Number three is, you guys are probably going to fucking, again, throw poo at the screen when I give you my number three. But it's been really, really good. And it's something that we didn't get in the movies about this character. And it is The Rise of Kylo Ren. Charles Soule is just a master at Star Wars. Okay. Jason Aaron was great on his book, the Star Wars main title, but Soule is just fucking killing it. And this Rise of Kylo Ren has been fucking great. It's the backstory. Casey's already booing me in the chat. God damn it. Boo on this fucking book. Boo this man. Boo this man. I'm digging it. I'm digging the Knights of Ren. We're getting a really, really good look at the Knights of Ren. They are some sick fuckers. They're sick. And they want Ben Solo to be sick to get in the group. So I'm digging the artwork. I'm digging the story. We're getting some backstory on Ben. It's about how the Jedi Temple burned down, about how he burned it down, and about the students that came after Ben because they thought he killed Luke, which he didn't. He tried, but he didn't. Boo runs. I was saying Boo runs. Listen, I read every issue this so far, and after everyone, all I can think is, what's the point? Well, we're getting a backstory. I get that. I understand what you're saying because we know how Ben's story turns out. But this is how Ben got to where he was working for Snoke, that he was working in Snoke has told the Knights of Ren, hey, you need to look at this guy. I got you all out here doing gangster shit. Y'all need recruits. Y'all need to look at this guy. So we're getting more story. And we don't know. It's going to be it's a miniseries, obviously. But we do know how Ben Solo ends up, if you've seen the movie. But I do like the backstory, and I'm liking the art. I just think if you're a Star Wars fan, I think you'll dig it. I like it. You know, again, opinions like buttholes, right? Okay, number two is a book that y'all are going to shit that I didn't pick number one. But I'll be honest. It very well easily could have been number one. I just didn't want to make it number one because I feel like every week that this comes out or every month that this comes out, it's going to be number one because I'm fucking so in love with it. Thor number three. Okay, I'm loving this. He is the new Herald of Galactus, if you ain't heard. He has the Odin Force because he is now the King of Asgard now that Odin's gone, and he is imbued with the power cosmic from Galactus. He is Galactus's new herald. So yes, Casey, we get the Beta Ray fucking Bill fight, and Beta Ray Bill has shown up. He is not happy with the Odin son for helping Galactus, which if you did not read Beta Ray Bill God Hunter, it was all about Beta Ray Bill getting revenge for Galactus destroying his planet. And then he realized Thor was my pick of the week. So happy with it so far. Yeah. I mean, I very well could have been pick of the week, man. I'm telling you, like, it's that good. And it's gangster. I mean, it's total gangster. Here, and I'll show you. I knew I had one, but like Casey said, man, fucking big dick swinging hammers, and they are, and it's Thor immediately shows his power to Beta Ray Bill by just smacking the fuck out of him, like bitch smacking his boy, and he just goes flying into a planet. I mean, this is an epic brawl. Which you guys know how I love brawls. And it's just fantastic. It's great artwork, as you can see right here. This is just one page of many pages of him and Bill going at each other. He was like the anti-herald in the God Hunter, staying one step ahead of Galactus and destroying any planet he could try to feed on. Yeah, that was basically, just to sum up God Hunter. But then Bill realized he can't kill Galactus. If he kills Galactus, the energy dispersal of killing an entity like a force of nature that is Galactus was going to annihilate millions, if not billions, of people, and he couldn't do that. And now we all, if you haven't read Thor, the reason he is doing this is he's trying to help Galactus get these five worlds that the Surfer had kept secret to give him, make him the most powerful version of Galactus we've ever seen. Because the Black Plague or the Star Plague is coming and it's going to annihilate our world as we know it. And at the last issue, guys, if you remember, we actually see the Justice League make an appearance in Thor number two. And the Justice League was killed by this Star Plague. So really, really cool shit. Donny Cates is fucking doing it, man. He's doing it again. Jason Aaron's my boy. He'll always be my boy. His Thor run was some of the best Thor stories we've ever seen. this has really gotten off to a fantastic start. I love the action. I just love it. I love Galactus and Thor talking shit to each other. And like, who's got the bigger dick, motherfucker? No, you don't. I got the bigger dick. So it's just cosmic beatdown fun right now. I love when they bunk on DC like Hickman did in the Avengers and the Incursions. And anytime we see the Squadron Supreme, exactly. Like, it's Cates has a really great way of weaving in Marvel history into his new stories, which is great. And now he's done this with DC. And now we get a fan favorite, Beta Ray Bill, which, you know, I love Bill and Thor's brother dynamic. Like, they are blood brothers, brothers in arms to the truest sense of the word. And I'm really curious how the part two of this plays out, because we don't end with a definitive winner. We kind of do, but we don't. Thor really beats the shit out of Beta Ray, I have to say. But, you know, Beta Ray ain't going out like that. But there is something that happens with Beta Ray in this issue that I'm really curious how they rectify, because I was like, oh my God, that did not fucking happen. They did not just do that. Like, it's a big part of Beta Ray, Bill, and it's gone now. So I'm curious what happens. And it's just a fucking great story, guys. I mean, this is what comic books are meant to be. They're meant to be fun. They're meant to be entertaining. Give us a fucking good story. Yeah, I love that Galactus strips Thor of his powers before they fight, so it's a little more fair. And we've seen the Odin and King Thor in Aaron's run go against Galactus. So Thor really doesn't even need the power cosmic to go up against Galactus. Galactus should have known once he imbued him with that ability, Thor could fucking crush Galactus if he wanted to, I think. And you know, in a hands-down fight. With he's jacked up now with power cosmic, with the Odin power, the Odin force, it's over. It's over with. So we're getting a really, really, really fucking high-end story here with Cates. Art is fantastic. You guys are going to dig it, man. If you haven't already seen it, or read it, please get it. Give it a shot. You won't be disappointed. All right, guys. Number motherfucking one. I don't think you may be surprised by number one. You may not be. So let me preface number one real quick. Why Thor wasn't number one. I feel like I have to like explain it because Thor number three was so fucking good. Number one, Jonathan Hickman has rekindled my love for the X-Men. Powers of X, House of X was just utter fucking nerdgasm for me. Like, it was just so fucking good, so fucking good, so fucking good. If it's Batman and Catwoman, you're gonna get punched into Blazing D. Nah, Blazing D is gonna be good. Blazing D will survive this. Again, I think Hickman has just done such a fucking fantastic job making me love the X-Men again for years. I gave a shit about the X-Men. Maybe since Whedon's run on all new X-Men. All right. So, number one, I think I've kind of buried the lead, right? But it is X-Men. I believe it's number five. I can't see it. I didn't write it down because I'm stupid. But it's X-Men. And why? So this is basically a Mystique centric issue. And if you're not familiar, her girlfriend, lover, is a clairvoyant named Destiny. She can tell the future. Okay. So I've been wondering since House of X and Powers, what the deal is with Mystique being on the Quiet Council. That is a council that Xavier and Magneto have created to govern Krakoa. So I'm curious about her part in this. Well, this issue explains that. Destiny has seen the future. Before she dies, she tells Mystique they are going to want you to do things, and they are going to hold from you what you want most. She tells her just enough, so she goes along with everything. Xavier Magneto, man, I tell you, the X-Men are becoming villains. Yes, yes, Neil. This issue definitely made me feel like Xavier's starting to slip into a more villainous role. I have felt like that. I have been feeling like that. When you start putting people like Gorgon and Apocalypse and Mystique and Sabretooth in these roles, you're getting in bed with your enemy. Now, I get it. It's all about mutant sovereignty. It's all about establishing mutant superiority. And when they started resurrecting mutants, like, now they can't die. And, you know, it's like, whoa, man, what is going on with the fucking X-Men? So, and Destiny even says it in this issue. She says they're not wanting everyone to see what they're doing. That's the reason they won't bring me back. Because if I'm brought back, I will be able to see what their end game is. And they're keeping that from us. That cannot happen. Okay? So it's really, really, really getting deep. And now we're starting to see fault lines, right? We're starting to see the cracks. And Destiny will come back. And she will foil their plans, and Mystique's probably going to be a big part of it. I'm really curious, because the mutants are formidable, man. The X-Men are formidable with Xavier, and they can resurrect whoever the fuck they want now. And who's to say they can't make clones, like multiple Wolverines? Like, why couldn't they do that? I think they can do that with the way they're I don't want to say procreating mutants, but resurrecting mutants. So it's really, really interesting. This was a very eye-opening issue. Great art. And it's Hickman. It's Hickman. And I love it. And it's furthering my love for the X-Men. So that's the reason it's my number one, guys. All hail the five, right? That's right, man. All hail the five. We're going to get, man... I feel like there's going to be some division in the ranks. If you've been reading X-Force, like, Beast has done some very morally questionable shit, man. And Jean Grey has fallen in line. Like, Jean? Oh, sweet Jean? Not Dark Phoenix. Jean is fucking killing people, like, evaporating people to where there's no evidence of a body. So, yes, they're all starting to fall in this villainous role. And there's going to be some X-Men that take issue with this, I think. It's going to be a huge event, maybe a couple years down the road. I don't know. But I'm in for the ride, man. And, guys, you need to be reading this shit. If you're watching this show, you need to be reading this shit, because it's really, really, really good. All right. So, I have a new book. And it was a listener, which is actually an old coach of mine, that suggested that I read this. And he had no idea that I had just finished my D&D camp, my first D&D campaign, like a day before. So he said, hey, you need to check this out. It's called Die. And again, I fucked up and didn't give you the writer or the artist. I apologize for that. But this is very, very good. And it's Die. It's kind of a play on words. It is Die, but it is also Die as in one dice. Okay? Like one die. Like a die 20, to be exact. Okay? Because I'm schooled in D&D now, so I know that shit, right? It's one. It's a die 20, dude. It's a die 20. Not a die 6. Not a D6, as in a damage 6. It's die 20. No. But this is really, really cool. I'll give you the premise really, really quick. It's great artwork. Fantastic story. It is a group of Dungeons & Dragons players. Okay? They've all got their characters. And this Dungeon Master gives them all a die. Each character gets a die. Okay? And I don't have my dice, or I would show you. But like you get a D6, you get a D20, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, the D20, maybe all of them were enchanted or magical. We don't know yet. I'm only like two issues in, but they end up getting transported into a world, a Dungeons and Dragons world. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jason. It is Karen Gillan. Yes. Fucking Karen Gillan. When I found out that this was Dungeons and Dragons related, I opened the page, I seen the artwork, and I seen Karen Gillan was attached. I was fucking all in. Yes, I was all, I can't believe I forgot it was Karen Gillan. Yes, so good. So they get transported into this D&D world by their dungeon master. All right? They are gone for 20 years. I believe it's 20 years. They go in as kids, they come back as adults. They end up escaping this world, but one of them did not make it. The dungeon master did not come back with them. You end up seeing why he didn't come back. So the dice shows up to the main chick of the book so far, okay? She gets the rest of the group together. They have been unable to talk about what happened because of a spell that the leader of the group cast while in the campaign. So even the authorities and everything are like, what happened to this person? His name was Saul. What happened to Saul? And they're like, we can't talk about it. And everybody feels like they're covering for each other, but they're not. They are actually magically bound from talking about it. But the outside world doesn't understand that, right? So when he gets the group back together, they're like, look, this showed up today, this die. I figured it's up to us to decide what we do. So before they really can decide, they are transported back to this world that they escaped. And Saul is now the ruler of this world, this dimension. And he's like, hey guys, it's all good. We're going to play. And they're like, no, we got to get back, man. We've been gone. He's like, no, we're not going. You're not going back. We're playing. I killed the last the ruler of this dimension. I rule it now. We're going to play. So now they're in a campaign where they have to use their abilities, their powers, which is all really cool, man. It's a fucking great book. I am so pumped that he opened my eyes to this. Man, I'm telling you, two issues in and I'm hooked. I am down. Like Jason said, I am down. Karen Gillan, great artwork. You can't go wrong. It's Dungeons and Dragons. And me playing one time, mind you, I understand like kind of what's going on in the story. About like how these power sets are working, about how like, oh, well, he can't do this because of this. And, oh, well, I can do that because there's a God Binder, a Grief Knight, like a bunch of subclasses that I didn't know about, but they're all so cool. Very, very fucking amazing book, guys. Please check it out. It's called Dies by Karen Gillan, Image Comics, which Image does fucking fantastic work anyway. But yeah, check this book out. But that's all I got for you guys. I'm gonna get out of here. Went a little over an hour today. I want to thank the chat. You guys are always fucking fantastic. I love it when you guys are in the chat with me. You are always my other co-host. Don't ever think you're not, because you are. And with that, and especially again, with the tragedy that had befallen on the LFD this week, I want to give my condolences to the Prather and the McCall family. I'm very, very sorry. And my hearts and prayers are with you guys. And I'll end this. I usually end it by saying, you know, basically don't be a dick, be nice, treat people like you'd want to be treated. Tell somebody that you love them. Tell somebody that you care a lot about that would change your life, forever. If they weren't in your life anymore, that's your homework, guys. You just tell that person you love them. Let them know. That way you've told them how you feel, and there would be no regrets if something was to happen to that person tomorrow, next week, 10 years from now, whatever. our time's short, guys. It really is. And times like this, it smacks you in the face. But again, thank you so much. Hit that like or subscribe button. I really, really appreciate it. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a free subscription. I'd really appreciate if you use it on me. But let me know what you think, guys. Let me know what you're reading. Let me know what you thought about the bat suit. Follow the Facebook page. Follow the Instagram page. I ask guys a lot of opinions on the Facebook page. And I use that. I really do. Like, when I'm getting the show together, like, what you guys are talking about is what I want to talk about on the show. I do it for you. I do it for me because I love doing it. But if you guys don't like it, then it doesn't make it worth it. So with that, guys, have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. And I'll see you next week. And be looking for the new show, The Travit Holes. The Travit Holes. I like it. All right, brothers. Peace.